Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our Lady of Excellence, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey. Not so sure about the excellence part, but we all try.
We do.
And you can open your Bible to the prophet Zephaniah tonight. Very fitting to study for such a time as this. And we will study verse by verse.
Yeah, not many churches do that anymore.
Sad, but true. So, have your pen ready, but first, let us ask for God's divine protection, added discernment, and most of all, wisdom in the months ahead.
O merciful, loving, and all-knowing Abba Father, we commit to remaining steadfast in our own faith, knowing you have it all under control to fulfill your word while conveying to us that we are edging ever closer to your return that blesses us with sweet excitement. But we trust in you with all our heart and will not look at what the world sees for the future, but we know is our future in your coming kingdom. We pray for these recent prayer requests and for the salvations of our loved ones. Please keep us safe and our burdens light as we rest in your ever-loving arms. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's talk about Israel.
Well, very chaotic, not just with the many war fronts, including new bombings in the West Bank, but also, just like over here, the right is feuding with the left, including within their government, who wanted to oust Prime Minister Netanyahu.
Even by his own defense minister, Gallant.
So obviously, Gallant is compromised and pressured by Washington's left, who hate Netanyahu as well. And now, with the killing of six more hostages, protesting is expanding and demanding an immediate withdrawal, fearing more hostage deaths, as Hamas has threatened to do, unless Bibi withdraws from all of Gaza. Especially the Philadelphia corridor, used to smuggle in Hamas weaponry. And now Biden says it's Israel that should make more concessions.
And, you know, many protesters are agreeing.
Even though they must realize there is zero chance that the remaining 101 hostages would ever all be released, especially since many of those have already been killed months ago. And leaving now would mean Israel lost, and Hamas would soon be back full force, for that is their MO. And in the midst of all this, now the international community, with of course Washington, want to apply a stronger batch of sanctions on the settlers in the Upper West Bank of Judea and Samaria over the violence with Palestinians who want to take the land and kick out the settlers living there. And lastly, Netanyahu's Likud party is finally openly claiming anti-Semitic persecution by Biden and Harris, with Bibi saying he will not be pressured by anyone.
What a job he has for such a time as this.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Please consider a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning.
Okay, since we have a few weeks before the fall feasts arrive, we thought we could delve into the book of Zephaniah, and that was written way back around 630 B.C.,
Yes, only three chapters, but what a great prophecy book.
Yes, prophesied first concerning Judah, as the north had already been conquered by the Assyrians and taken into captivity 100 years earlier in 722 B.C. Then Zephaniah quickly moves to prophesy about the last generation,
giving us much insight to the final days of judgment.
Yes, and his contemporaries were Jeremiah and Nahum, who were also preaching to Judah. However, Jeremiah's writings were considerably lengthier, containing more detailed accounts. And the southern tribes of Judah at this time, well, they needed as many prophets as they could because Babylon was about to conquer them due to their sinful ways, just like the northern tribes.
Yeah, you would think they would learn from their example.
Then again, it was another generation who, like us today, don't learn their history,
which tends to repeat itself.
Zephaniah wrote during the days of the good but young King Josiah, you can read about him in 2 Kings 22, who took over at the age of 8 after his wicked father Amon was murdered.
Wasn't there a previous very young king?
Yes, Joash. He was only 7, and he was the son of Athaliah.
Yahweh hides.
Yeah, well, Athaliah's parents were Ahab and Jezebel. In fact, you can read about that in 2 Kings 11.
Yeah, Zephaniah's name means Yahweh hides.
We believe he was born during the later years of the evil king Manasseh's reign. But God did hide Zephaniah from him.
Manasseh is the king who sawed Isaiah in two, literally.
Yeah, sawed him right in two. Manasseh became king at age 12 and ruled for 55 years. During that time, he polluted God's temple with idols, turned the priests into astrologers, consulted with witches, and even sacrificed some of his own children to Moloch. And just as a side note, there stands a tall statue of Moloch today at the Bohemian Grove in California, where by invitation only, the very elite and only men show up to immorally misbehave every July, where they all must attend a sacrifice called the Cremation of Care Ceremony.
Where they cremate away all their cares.
Yeah. At the, again, in front of the statue of Moloch. They say they burn in effigy, but suspicions grow.
Well, yeah, it's very secretive.
And no one gives any details out of fear of repercussions. But there are some documentaries, believe it or not, on YouTube from undercover participants. Quite interesting. Anyhow, back to Zephaniah. Manasseh's son, Amon, was also evil, ruling just 2 years when his own servants killed him. Anyhow, Zephaniah and the young king Josiah just happened to be distant cousins.
Both of whose great-great-grandfather was Hezekiah.
Meaning Zephaniah was also from the royal line, a nobleman, therefore of well means.
It must have been difficult for Zephaniah to say what God told him.
For sure. But he did it anyway. We know from 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles that this very young Josiah had some older advisors who were as corrupt as his father, King Amon. So Zephaniah would truthfully counsel Josiah, often contradicting the advisors. And one day, Josiah had Zephaniah enter a royal court meeting of all these advisors to announce the words Zephaniah had received from the Lord about the fact that God would be judging Judah as well as in the future at the end of times.
So, two prophecies.
Yeah. When any prophet says, as we've talked many times, in that day, they mean to the whole world in the tribulation. Understand, Zephaniah's lesson is for us too. That we also are of the royal line, and that evil will be and certainly is circulating all around us too.
So be on guard, never to give in to peer pressure.
Which is why we should study Zephaniah.
Yes, it is a somewhat forgotten book.
Yeah, and we, especially lately, as well have been cautioning believers against compromising or being complacent.
Speak up against sin and proclaim the truth.
Amen. But we do see how many choose to remain silent or to not stir up the waters.
Silence or tolerance is a loss in God's eyes.
We must all guard against doing that. Okay, honey, can you begin with verses 1, 2, and 3, where Zephaniah actually first speaks of the last day's judgment? But keep in mind, as it was given, well, they might have believed it applied directly to them, which really doesn't come till verse 4.
Zephaniah 1:1. The word of the Lord was came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume all man and beast.
Now, your translations might not use the word all, but the original does.
I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks.
Meaning idols.
Along with the wicked, I will cut off man.
Meaning the unrighteous.
From the face of the land, says the Lord.
Okay, as I said, the original text uses the word all after the word consume from the root word kalal, which means God will at some point later remove what is necessary to make perfect. In other words, anything, man or beast, that's been defiled, as God also had done in the days of Noah. Now comes verses 4 and 5, which is another prophecy, but this time specifically meant for them in Judea, and Samaria, also known today as the West Bank.
I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, the names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops.
These are the evil hosts, as confirmed in Ephesians 6, evil entities who fly in the heavenlies. But going a little deeper, these are likely fallen angels, as in little g gods, who demanded the peoples worship them, as in Baal, and many did.
Of course, these are not the ones who were chained in Tartarus.
No, those are the ones who mated with women producing giants, or what they call Nephilim. But Revelation 9 and Jude say they will be let out during the tribulation as part of the final judgment on them. But apparently, there are others, also called watchers, who had at one time after the flood was given some authority by God over the Gentile nations.
But not Israel.
Right. God himself was their protector and still is. Just look at the many miracles Israel has experienced.
And they still are.
Even though their enemies still surround them and have fought in many wars that, humanly speaking, they should not have been the victor. But we know other angels rebelled by desiring their own worship. But not all of them mated with women, probably because they saw what happened to the fallen ones who did and were cast into Tartarus. However, we have to say that probably some must have, because we know there were giants after the flood.
As in Goliath and his brothers.
Mm-hmm. Still, some fallen angels just desired to be worshipped as God, and they were using many different names according to the nations that they were given. Anyhow, that's what we conclude due to extra writings, and someday we'll get all the answers. But an example of an evil angel is in Daniel 10, called the Prince of Persia, where the good angel Michael and the chief prince came to help the angel Gabriel against the fallen angel called the Prince of Persia. And of course, today that's Iran. So I'm sure that prince is still there. And he was trying to stop Gabriel from bringing the answer to Daniel's prayer.
Psalm 82 makes it quite plain.
Yeah, and in fact, we've studied this before where God is scolding his little g gods. But you should read that again on your own. But we clearly see how God allowed a congregation of good heavenly hosts, also called the Divine Council, to help make decisions, overseen by God, of course.
So we know they have a free will.
Right, because some chose to follow their leader, Satan.
Another example of angels making decisions is in Daniel 4, verses 13 through 17.
Yes, and another example of dialogue between God and his heavenly spirits is in 1 Kings 22, beginning around verse 18. But back to the bottom line, there are those who say they are Christians, but are compromising their faith, as in accepting Allah, afraid to speak out to a Muslim. You know, the MO of the harlot in Revelation is that we all worship the same God, etc.
Some even worship Satan himself.
Oh yeah, there are admitted Satanists. But we know there will be a one-world religion after the true Christians are caught up.
An important reason why we must leave.
Exactly. Actually, today there are many who do serve the little g gods, as in the god of self, the god of money, god of science, taking precedence over and above his word. And there are those who serve two masters, as we will now see in Zephaniah 1 verse 5.
Those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Milcom.
This false god was the national idol of the Ammonites, where some Israelites worshipped and partook in the sacrificing of babies. You know, today, abortion is sacrificing to the god of humanism, or you could say modern Milcom. And we don't like to say that, but it's true nonetheless. So God says here that they were showing allegiance to both.
Again, it's called compromise.
And it's happening today. When we were in Israel, there was a Christian tour group from a mainline church, and I overheard use the name of Allah for God. I did say something kindly, and they said they thought it was just another name for God. Seriously? Who's teaching them? Today, I know there are infiltrators in our churches. And in fact, I'm going to address that known fact in our next newsletter. But let's move on to verse 6 now, to the backsliders.
Those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests.
This is now the sacrifice of the many very wicked that Jesus slays when he returns, and where the birds will be filled up with their flesh, and his guests are the Lord's invited ones, his sheep. Let's read how that is confirmed in Revelation 19, verses 17 through 21.
Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw a beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh.
Okay, that's pretty plain language. Let's continue now in verse 8 of Zephaniah 1.
And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel.
Right, not God's apparel of righteousness. Remember Matthew 22, the guests who tried to get into the wedding but had on the wrong clothing? Verse 9.
In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit.
Now back in the Old Testament, we read how the Philistines would leap over the threshold of their temple because it was there that their god Dagon lost its head and hands when it fell on the threshold in front of the Ark of the Covenant, which they had stolen. But then soon returned. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 5. Okay, verses 10 and 11, and we're still in the future tribulation.
And there shall be in that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh.
Now that's a village in northern Jerusalem.
For all the merchant people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off.
Verse 12 till the end of this chapter clearly describing the tribulation. So it is self-explanatory.
And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps. I will punish the men who are settled in complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land.
Well, the Old Testament book explains Revelation quite well, doesn't it? The new, it's also in the old too. So that spells it out quite well for all of us. And it's coming. Judgment is coming. So we'll continue in chapter 2 next week. But let me ask you, are you an in-name-only Christian? Matthew 7, who only has a head knowledge of him, but not a true heart conviction, no desire to be in his word, get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute. If you hesitate, the enemy will try very hard to steal that seed away. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.